BYUSN, which ESPN insider thinks BYU is still a viable candidate to make the college football playoff despite the quarterback situation. And a CBS Sports writer says BYU might have the easiest schedule in the Big 12. Do we agree? And what does it mean?
Brandon Doman is on the show today to preview BYU's quarterback battle. Who does the Dominator think will start later this month? And interviews with Fessy Satake and Cody Hagan, where they give insight on what to expect from the receiver room this upcoming season. It's all right now.
It's a good room, man. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday, August 1st. We are playing football this month. Let's go. I am Jerem Jordan. He is Twitter highlight evaluator, Dave McCann.
You know, every morning everyone gets up and they go to their phone and they go to X or Twitter. You know what they want to see? They want to see new stuff. And so whenever BYU football puts out new stuff from practice, it's our job to show you. So here's some of what they put out yesterday. There wasn't a media availability yesterday. So what we see is what we get here. And here it is. And we watch it and we watch it again. And half the plays are joined in progress. But, Jerem, we watch it anyway.
Some great throws. There's some interceptions by the defense. And we're seeing all three quarterbacks featured prominently. I saw a bear to tiger connection there. It's a nice grab by Chase Roberts. So nobody gives you vertical highlights like we do.
I
pulled
know.
Straight from the internet.
It forces you to look at it differently.
Shout out to the social team, Brandon Spain, all the homies with BYU Athletics who give us a peek into fall camp. But defense had a good day. Offense had their moments. What kind of back and forth do you want? Because if the defense is dominating, what does that say about the offense? Yet the defense is good. And so on and so forth. You kind of want a little 50-50.
Yeah, and you don't really know because BYU's totally in control of all the video coming out of camp. So no outside cameras can actually come in and say, well, I'm going to shoot my own stuff.
Yep.
So what you see
they can control the message.
Is what you,
absolutely.
What you see is what they want you to see. There were no incompletions thrown in that display unless they were defensive plays. So you look at it and you just go, okay, it's
zero
just football.
Drops, that's what I learned.
It's like the Hall of Fame game last night between the Chargers and Lions. Didn't make a lot of sense, but it was football, and it was on TV.
That's the first time I didn't watch the beginning of it where I was like, hey, football's back, man. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
Give me a couple weeks.
I had it on. I had it on just because as it comes on, then it stays on, right? And it kind of kicks off the football.
You're saying
month.
In the house, like, we're good. Oh, yeah, it'll be on for a couple hours.
Just on, like, you know, just like sound of a game.
The but, greatest white noise of all, football in the background.
So it was nice to see, and then you see the video clips. There'll be more clips today because there's a media availability, so there'll be a lot more attention.
We'll be there.
And we'll be heading out to it right after this show.
Can't wait. Yeah, well, normally we end and we record some stuff. We already did it because we got to get out.
Can't mess around.
We got to get out of here. Speaking of, let's go to trending. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I'm not panicking at all.
I think it sets up nicely for BYU to begin Big 12 play playing good football.
Because I feel like BYU is going to be a clear favorite.
Out of context, in what way? CBS Sports' Shahan Jayaraja recently ranked the hardest schedules in the Big 12. He ranked BYU's schedule as the easiest in the entire conference. I believe Josh Pate, CBS Sports, had that same opinion a little while back as well. Here's what Jayaraja said. Quote, road games against Iowa State and Texas Tech are likely losses, but BYU could be nearly favored in every game, even with the uncertainty of quarterback. End quote. Dave, do you agree with that statement?
I like it.
By the way, best dressed media member in the country?
This guy
we
right
saw
here.
The suit coat at Big 12 Media Days and then the bio there. Good looking man.
There's two schools of thought with a schedule and its strength. If you have a senior quarterback, senior-laden team, you want to stack those opponents so that you go, hey, this is a schedule that can get us to the playoff. If you're breaking in a new quarterback, you look at this current schedule for BYU and you go, this is perfect to break in a new quarterback because it's Portland State, it's Stanford, it's a bye, it's East Carolina, and then it's Colorado. Those are the first four out of the gate. You got three games really to prepare yourself for the Big 12 opener on the road. And Boulder will be rocking, so that'll be a test for whoever the quarterback is. Then you're home for West Virginia. You go to Arizona, and you got a shot to be clean going into the Utah game. You know, you need some breaks and stuff, but it's not impossible to think.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you're off to the races. You got Iowa State and Texas Tech, as mentioned. Those look brutal because they're on the road. There's even, a buy-in between them. But that's a schedule that, I don't know if the word easy, is thrown around at all in the Big 12.
Yeah, not easy. Come on.
But I love that schedule to break in a new quarterback.
Okay, it's interesting. So, BYU should be 3-0. If they're not, something happened, there are problems. At Colorado is a game that hopefully BYU should go in and win. They're breaking in a lot of new guys, too. They lost, obviously, the Heisman Trophy winner, new quarterback, and so on and so forth. Yeah. They have two talented guys competing there. Caden Salter went to the New Year's Six game a couple years ago with Liberty. They got Juju Lewis, five-star quarterback. They feel like by then, hopefully, they're good.
Right.
BYU already did win at Folsom Field this year. Connor Mance won the Boulder.
So we got that going
for
us.
So they're going for a second win. What's interesting is if Tryson Borgay is the guy, he could be playing a game in his hometown at Arizona where he's the starting quarterback against the hometown Wildcats. That could be very interesting. But, the three-game stretch, as you mentioned, that will define whether BYU is competing for a Big 12 title or not is the Utah at Iowa State bye week at Texas Tech, three games in 4 weeks, two of which are on the road. And I don't care what Utah's record is. That's always a tough game.
Sure.
In fact, BYU probably lost to Kansas because of what it took out of them against Utah, physically, emotionally, and so on. They did not come down from the high of that, and it was very high, in time to beat Kansas, unfortunately, who went on a heater where they beat three ranked teams in a row as an unranked team, which had never happened in the history of college football, by the way. So BYU got caught in the middle of that, unfortunately. That stretch will define the season. Is this a 7-5, 8-4, breaking in a young quarterback kind of season? Or is it a 9-3, 10-2, we're in the mix, tiebreakers hopefully go our way in the Big 12 title game? That set will define it. Yet, there's no Kansas State, there's no Baylor, there's no Arizona State. So I would argue
that
BYU is not playing three of the top five teams in the league. Now, that's as of now. As of now. Last year, we did not see that Arizona State would actually be the best team in the league. Which team is that? It's hard to know. Yeah. Like, does TCU go on one and Josh Hoover's throwing for 4,000 yards again and they have a defense and they're the team to be? Maybe it's BYU. Who knows? It's just hard to think that suddenly BYU, like, would throw in a dude who has never started in Power Four and he goes the distance. Yet, Sam Levitt did the same thing with Arizona State last year.
Yeah.
Sam Levitt did the same thing. And could BYU's guy be that guy?
If L.J. Martin is like Scataboo, then absolutely. It's the kind of schedule that if BYU cruises through will hurt them in the end because they'll go, well, it wasn't that tough. It's also the kind of schedule, as we mentioned, that can get a young guy to win games going through. And so you have to decide which is the most valuable.
I like the latter because it's about trying to be your best selves. What does that look like with BYU's quarterback situation? We're not sure yet. We got to give it a minute. But I am intrigued that it would appear that BYU's got an opportunity to get a nice start and then perhaps they're weathered and hopefully healthy. Yeah. And then you go through this really tough stretch of Utah at Iowa State, bye week, which is well-placed, at Texas Tech, who spent a lot of money to get a lot of good transfers, and they are going to be in the mix. So I'm excited. Like, is UCF very improved now that Scott Frost is back? Is Cincinnati better? Is TCU better? I'm not sure. What's the team that out of nowhere is way worse than we thought, way better? I have a hard time thinking Iowa State and Texas Tech won't be good. I have a hard time thinking Utah is going to be what they were last year. I think they'll be improved. How much more improved? Is Arizona State better with Noah Fifita? Is West Virginia way better now that they're singing Country Roads and have resurrected what they hope will be the past when they were spitting out good offenses and going to the Fiesta Bowl and winning the Big East?
A bunch of these teams won't have the quarterbacks that they have right now by the time we get to the backside of the season. It's just football, you know. Sam Levitt's great until he hurts his knee. And then Arizona State has totally changed.
We don't wish any injury on anybody.
It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. But what we're looking for as a fan is a good time, right?
Yes.
If BYU's winning games, we're having great parties, great family dinners, and life is good.
The pregames
and then if a committee at the end decides we don't get to go here or there, we've had 3.5 good months of a good time, like last season. Last season was a blast for Cougar Nation. So there's also that aspect, which sometimes our happiness is going to be determined by this group of people, how they decide our season went, when in reality, if there's a win on August 30th, Cougar Nation's feeling good, and then you just keep
going
through.
Then you go to the next one.
And that's what this show's for, is for the fans, and so we look for a great time, and a great time means the team succeeding no matter what the national pundits think. And so, hey, it's later this month.
We'll be here either way. We're ready.
In her recent article for ESPN, Heather Dinitz listed 32 teams that she believes can make the college football playoffs. She ranked BYU 27 on that list, saying she disagrees with the ESPN analytics and believes BYU should be ranked higher, even with the quarterback questions. You think she's right?
I think that is an aggressive, positive take right now. Yeah. I am in the wait-and-see category. I certainly believe that the BYU defense is going to be very good again, that special teams are very good. I believe in the O-line and the run game and the receivers. It's just we don't know who the quarterback is. That we can't declare constantly that quarterback is the most important position in all of sports and then be like, well,
yeah,
it's not a big deal.
No,
it is a big deal.
It is.
And if BYU is playing a true freshman or the other two who haven't played in a Power Four, it's new. It's big time. And making the playoffs feels very ambitious. Like if you said right now, hey, BYU's going to take their lumps, but they're going to go 9-3 in the regular season, I'd go sign me up right now. Obviously, I want to see all the games and see how it plays out. But I think BYU's last year was incredible with the clutch plays, the good bounces, the amazing ability to take the ball away, timely special teams, and so on and so forth. That was about as, if you played that out 100 times that season, I think 11-2 is probably the best case scenario in most situations. To hit on that again takes a lot of health and luck and so on and so forth. I certainly think BYU can be good this year. I just think good looks a little different when you're breaking it in the quarterback.
I thought it was interesting Heather had Tulane ranked better than BYU in this case for making it to the playoffs.
She's a Red Sox fan.
They got a quarterback over there.
He's competing with a bunch of dudes to win that job.
Yeah. So, you know, it's easy to be negative. That's usually the safest play. Yeah. They don't have a quarterback, they're out. And we're going to see that in the preseason polls, I think. Whereas they do have a quarterback, they're top 15. It's the logic a lot of people have no idea, right? They're just looking and going, oh, they don't have the quarterback, they're out. And I think BYU's going to get stung by that a little bit, even though they might be a better football team in the end or in other positions. So Heather's take on that's good because the most of the pundits are like, nope, I'm voting them 9th or 10th because that's the safe play. Even though they picked Arizona State last year and they finished first, they're still going to go back to the negative spin. Is just easier for people who haven't taken the time to study something
yes.
out.
And I don't know that it's necessarily negative. I think it is fair to think that they probably won't. I think she's one of the few that thinks, yes, they are in the mix for that, which is interesting to me. And certainly if things go really well and this guy, whoever it is, one of those three on the screen, if they can find the playmakers and not turn it over and be explosive and do the things, yes, BYU could be in the mix for that. But last year they barely didn't make it and things went really well, Dave. So it's just hard to think that a new guy could take him to the promised land like that. Yet we saw Sam Leavitt do it with Arizona State. So
and
we
last
know
year,
it's absolutely possible.
Hey, Jake did it. What was he projected as among the best quarterbacks in
16th.
The Big 12? 16th.
And I would argue he was probably the 6th or 7th best quarterback in the Big 12 last year.
Yeah. Right. And with that, you got there.
To me, to get to the Big 12 title game with all these tiebreakers, because there's so many teams, you have to be a top 4 guy in the league probably.
Yeah.
Yet, BYU's not asking that guy to win a ton of games. But I want to get to the point where BYU has this team and that guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's on the roster. We just haven't seen him quite yet. I'm in wait-and-see mode, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Our question of the day is this. Do you agree with Heather Dinitz of ESPN that BYU can make the college football playoff? We haven't announced a quarterback. We're on day 3 of fall camp. We're going there.
Right. 12 teams get in.
Let's go.
1-12.
Hopefully they'll expand to 16. It doesn't sound like next year they're doing that, by the way. Probably keeping the 12, then they'll see. At Nathan _Steele on X. Absolutely, they were nearly there last year, are returning great pieces of that team. They also have some great additions. The fact that the entire coaching staff returns is huge. Thanks for the comment. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. I did post a picture yesterday of Keanu Tanabasa being coached by Gary Anderson, and I thought, these guys look good in blue. And we are lucky to have those guys. This coaching staff is really special. You have Gary Anderson as one of the kind of behind-the-scenes coaches. He's not even a listed coach. He's a staffer, if you will. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The former head coach of Wisconsin.
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody that doesn't look better in blue. It's just a color that enhances. And it certainly worked it in that.
Life.
I saw your picture. I'm like, hey, and you know what I love about those two? They are thrilled to be here.
Yeah, they're doing
you
great work.
Tell.
I'm watching, rewatching all of the games from last year in reverse order. So I'm on the Utah game right now. Keanu Tanavasa bats a ball inside the 10 against Jake Kretzoff, and I thought, glad he's on our side now.
So your viewing is going to culminate with Southern Illinois?
Yeah, I don't know
that's
why.
Going down?
I don't know why.
Okay. We'll get ready for Portland State.
Just mix it up. One time I read the Book of Mormon backwards, Moroni to Nephi. It was great. It was just different.
All right.
Don't get caught in the minutia of tradition.
Coming up, speaking of tradition, we've got soccer, the blue-white game. It's the first live sporting event of the new year, and it's Saturday night at Southfield. Our coverage starts at 9 Eastern on ESPN+. I was just thinking about those Isaiah chapters, reading them backwards. I don't know if I'm ready for
it. Well, not backwards, just, you know, sequentially backwards the books. After the break, Brandon Dellman, the Dominator, joins the show to talk about this quarterback competition. This is BYU Sports Nation.
For the first day, I was really happy. But we have a lot of work to still accomplish.
The thing they care about the most is winning. Whatever guy puts them in position to win the most, they're going to start.
These 3 weeks will be very intense. BYU is as well equipped as it could possibly be to withstand the rigors and challenges and trials of breaking in a new quarterback.
Yes, they are, Greg Rebell. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. We now welcome in one of the all-time greats at BYU. He was a quarterback here. He's the guy that didn't muff it, as President Hinckley once asked Lavelle Edwards before his final game, a former quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. He is Brandon Dellman on the program. Brandon, thanks for winning that New Mexico game for you and everybody else, especially Lavelle.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate being here.
Let's talk about the most compelling storyline that a training camp can ever give, a quarterback battle. And it's unique that we have three in fall, certainly because Jake Kretzoff transfers in July. It ushers in the need here. What is the uniqueness and the challenge and the opportunity of a three-way battle in fall camp?
Well, there's not enough reps to go around for three guys. So it really is unique in that you're wanting every single one of those guys to feel like they truly have an opportunity. You've recruited them. You've brought them in. You've got some young guys that are extremely talented that have a really bright future ahead of them. You want them to make sure that they feel like they've got a shot and a real whack at being a starter there. But back, you know, deep in the truth and reality of what's going on there, they've got a front runner that they feel confident in. And they're quickly going to start dumping reps into that guy.
This isn't an easy proposition for Aaron Roderick. Up until your senior year, you're down on the depth chart. You finally get your chance. You go 14-2 and go play for the 49ers. And so you were there the whole time, but it wasn't until there was an opportunity that got you there, and then they had to leave you on the field. So as Aaron looks at these three guys and what they might be or can be, how tough of a job does he got?
Well, it's so hard. Until the stadium lights turn on, fans come walking in, there's 65,000 people there. Gamers play the game, and it's really hard to find out who your true gamers are in a practice. You can simulate game situations. You can do as much as you possibly can in practice, but until you actually put a guy into the stadium, snap his helmet on him and say, okay, this is your team, go do it. It's hard to really know which guy's going to be the very best. And so over the next week or two here, they're going to give as many live reps. When I say live, I'm calling this move the field situation scenario football to see which guy commands the offense the best, and then you know, put him in all the reps and let him go.
Do you let the defense be a little more aggressive than you would normally when you know the guys, just so you can see how they are with live ammo, if you will? Because normally you're protecting that quarterback because you want to preserve them for the season. Yet, don't they need to see what they're going to do with the actual live rush a little bit?
Well, you can't afford to let the quarterback get hit and get hurt. As goes the quarterback, so goes the team. So those opportunities for live reps or letting the quarterback get hit, I think those have come and gone. So you do put yourselves in full padded situations. You get into third and medium, third and short, goal line situations, red zone situations, as many critical situations as you can, and you speed it up as game-like as you can. You let you know, turn the music on, do whatever you can to create intensity, create game-like situations, give points, give prizes, whatever you got to do to the winning team. So you just really ramp it up the best you can. and then put those quarterbacks out there and see which one wins. I mean, you want to find out which guy wins. And you can put those guys in enough scenarios, rewarding game-like scenarios, that you start figuring out which guy's going to win right now. You need to find out who's going to win right now, not in 5 or 6 games from now.
Brandon Domann on Sports Nation, played quarterback here, quarterback coach here, offensive coordinator here. So as you look at this race, and if the best quarterback here is a freshman, do you hesitate going with him?
No, but he has to demonstrate that right now. And I just don't know that that freshman is going to be able to demonstrate that right now. I mean, and we're looking at a video clip probably of the one we're talking about, Bear, that's coming in here from Stanford. And he's an extremely talented young man. He's got so much upside. So do you let this guy start right now? I just don't think so. I've known McKay Hillstead for a long time. I've watched him from the time he was a 15-year-old kid all the way through up till right now. And I think you've got a guy that can go lead this football team and be better than adequate. And I think he can be every bit as good as Jake, if not better, frankly. I think he's got some skills and attributes that are better than Jake. And so let McKay Hillstead go do his thing. And if we get down the road a little while or a little ways, and I would put the other guy in as the backup quarterback and give him as many opportunities as you can to get him ready and start preparing yourself for the future. That's what I would do over the next few days. I think I would put McKay in every rep possible and probably put Bear in as the backup quarterback and start giving Bear as many reps as you can. Those two guys give you the biggest upside opportunity for the coming season and in the next 2 seasons coming up.
That's a strong opinion. Let's go back to it. When McKay Hillstead is cooking, what does that look like, and what can he do on the field that will help BYU win?
He's so versatile. I mean, he's got track-like speed. I mean, this is a guy that can run in 10-second, 100-meter stuff. I mean, he's really, really fast. He's got plenty of size. I know he's not tall, but he's over 200 pounds. He's strong. I think he's got a really compact throwing motion. He can throw. I think he can make any throw. And so being, 5'11", or whatever he is, I still
Who's
don't
calling
think
you in the middle of this interview, Brandon?
That's my brother, Bryce.
Of course Bryce would call in the middle of the interview. Hey, I'm watching you on Sports Station.
Nah, that's Bryce. He's my business partner. He's like, what the heck's going on? It's 10:30. I think McKay has some unique capabilities, and I think we're going to be really, really happy with what he can do as BYU fans. And then we're seeing young quarterbacks with similar attributes, but are bigger, 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", type athletes that down the road, I think it continues to get better. But I think McKay can help build a foundation to build on.
How would you coach him with his size, which is somewhere between 5'9 and 5'10, and his offensive line somewhere between 6'7 and 6'8? So how do you coach him up to find his throwing lanes if those guys are around him protecting him?
Oregon with Dylan Gabriel last year in Oklahoma, those guys had a guy no different in size. University of Utah's got a guy that's the same size. You play in a spread style offense. You put him in an RPO system, a run pass option system in that spread offense. You give him some zone read stuff. You get him into the spread, kind of a sprint option game, and then keep the pocket spread. Keep him moving. Let him move the pocket. Inside, still a very traditional pass game offense. So A-Rod is, I think, very versatile in the way he does things. I think he mixes things up. But you have to be very careful not to have too many looks, too many formations. You really do have to keep things shrunk down and simple for McKay so that when he comes out there, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's the one that has to execute the offense, not A-Rod. So McKay has to be able to come out there and know exactly what he's doing. He has to live and breathe in the game plan. So every third and medium, every red zone, every critical situation, offensive play, McKay has to, when I say live and breathe in it, he has to be able to execute those beautifully. And right now you're trying to make sure that you've got 4 or 5 plays in third and medium, 4 or 5 plays in the red zone, situational football that he can be very good at so that you're moving the chains. First downs equal touchdowns. So completions equal first downs. And then first downs equal touchdowns. And if you can integrate that into this guy, he has all the athletic ability to be good. Just now you got to train him to lead the offense and manage the offense. I think he's capable of doing it.
He was asked about his mastery of the playbook, and he said, I think I've mastered it. I don't think at all. I just get the guys in the right spots, and we try and move the ball. With that said, you mentioned, hey, they need to figure this out in the next week or two. We've got a month to the game, a little under a month. What is the ideal timing of, okay, I fairly gave these three guys a shot with the ones as much as possible against the ones. Now, where's the ideal time of, okay, we decide at this point, and then the team rallies around that guy, and we can prepare in a way around one person for how long?
Monday. I wouldn't wait past Monday.
Could they realistically do that? Could they figure it out by Monday? That feels fast.
Yes. You can't wait. They won't tell anybody. Right. They'll start considering who the backup's going to be and how to manage the third string quarterback and so on and so forth. But they can't wait much past Monday of next week, because there's not enough reps. You just don't have enough reps. And this starting quarterback needs continuity. He needs reps. He needs to stand behind the 6'4", 6'5" lineman. He's got to feel the top defense in the league coming at him all the time. That's a huge bonus for him. He's playing against an awesome defense. BYU has to establish a run game. There's no way that McKay Hillstead – the other thing I was going to say is there's no way that McKay Hillstead is going to be a dominant force for them on offense this year if they can't establish a really solid run game. What does that mean for a quarterback like him? It means that the defense has to convert to a run-stop defense. They have to invert safeties down, and it simplifies the coverages. It makes it more vanilla. It makes it easier to read. It creates more open passing lanes, which, again, in play action and move the pocket stuff, I think will be very easy for McKay. And I do think we're going to see at times him take off and get 20 yards on occasion, maybe some big whacks, runs. But I think he'll keep chains moving. And that's what I would say to McKay. If I were coaching McKay, you keep the chains moving, both with your legs and with completions and smart decision-making. And I think I know he's a smart kid. He's my friend, and McKay went to high school together. They're very good friends. I know McKay's very, very bright. He's a very deep thinker. I think he's going to be able to do the things that he needs to be successful. Now, again, that's not necessarily saying that Bear or some of these other young guys coming up don't have bigger upsides than McKay. It's just that I think McKay truly can build the foundation for the next round of really successful quarterbacks here at BYU.
Great opinion, great insight into McKay, and of course you've been there as a coach and a player. I did want to mention this summer I hung out with some of your first cousins and their kids in Canby, Oregon. They run that town, man. They run that town.
I'm surprised you didn't get injured.
Well, I did. I just went to church, but yeah. They did it. They're awesome. And I was like, what's the relation exactly? Yeah.
Yeah, those are my dad's younger brother's family up there, and they're the best. Some of my uncle's grandsons are coming to BYU.
Jackson, right? A tight end on a mission in Brazil, I think. Yeah.
There's a quarterback down in St. George right now that's a freshman, that's a son of Rex Doman, that's a super stud down at Crimson Cliffs High School. So there's some up and comer Domans that are coming down the pipeline here pretty quick.
There's always a Doman.
We can't wait.
There's always a Doman.
There needs to always be a Doman, a Kafusi. They're the staples of the program. Brandon, we appreciate the time as always, and thanks for joining us.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, call Bryce back. Tell him we say hello. Thanks, Brandon. I kind of got a hunch that he thinks McKay is the quarterback.
He has a relationship with McKay, and that was some great insight.
Yeah.
That was some great insight.
Yeah. Interesting to see. We'll see how it
plays
out.
He said he thinks he could be as good or better than Jake Retzoff. That was a strong opinion.
He knows his stuff.
Trust me, we'd all love that. That'd be great.
Yeah, we would. Coming up on Tuesday, after further review, David and Blaine will get their take on fall camp, the quarterback battle. Also, we'll look at the takeaways and big plays from last season. And there were a lot of them Tuesday, 7 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. And then it's there forever.
It's at least 29 takeaways and a lot of big plays. So there's a lot to cover.
It's a good show.
Coming up, a couple of Cougar Hoopers repping their countries on the international stage. And what are some of the results from USA Track and Field National Championships with Cougs in Eugene? This is BYU Sports Nation.
Outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. You'll see plenty of Brandon Doman on those outlets today. Some
strong opinions good from stuff. Brandon. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. I am Jerem. He is Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
Football practice continues on campus as they get ready. Close to wrapping up day three. BYU TV will have the latest news and information from camp throughout the month, all leading up to Portland State later this month.
They're practicing as we speak. They're going to wrap up in about 20 minutes. Safety Tanner Wall has been named to the All-State Werfel Trophy Watch List, an award given to a player who best combines exemplary community service, academic excellence, and athletic achievement. He is absolutely the number one person for this from BYU. He's fantastic.
Parker Kingston, named to the Paul Horning Award Watch List. There's a lot of watch lists. This is given to the most versatile player in college football. Yeah, I think he fits that mold.
He actually the best passer on the team.
Threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, took two punts back for touchdowns. That's versatility with a capital V.
He has more passing touchdowns than any of the three BYU quarterbacks. He has three.
Yeah.
They have zero in Power Four.
Is he fifth on the depth chart? Also, a moment ago, Will Farron named a Lou Groza watch list
of
for the best kicker in the country, which I think he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Delaney Gibb will represent Team Canada in the 3x3 Women's Series in Edmonton this weekend. She tells me this is her debut.
Let's go. She hasn't
been with the 3x3 team. She's been with the full 5-on-5 national team. Best of luck to Delaney.
Trevin Nell also playing in Edmonton as part of one of three teams representing the United States. He's playing for Team DC. It's his second game for USA 3x3.
USA Track and Field Outdoor Championships currently being held. A number of Cougars, former and current, competing. Casey Klinger, 6th in the 10K. Megan Hunter, 21st in the 800. All four steeplechase runners advanced to the final. Kenneth Rooks, James Corgan, Courtney Wayman, and Lexi Halliday-Lowry.
Former baseball star Jackson Clough of the Rochester Red Wings homered and tripled last night. They got beat by the Charlotte Knights.
Who cares?
They also finished with three runs batted in on a spectacular Thursday for Clough.
And women's soccer will hold its blue and white game tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus and at Southfield. This is the first official athletic event for the 25-26 season.
Let's go. Lights will be on. It'll be something.
Wait. After the break, our conversations with Fessy Satake and Cody Hagan as we preview the receivers as BYUSN continues. Welcome back to this Day 3 Camp Edition of BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Well, receivers coach Fessy Satake has a loaded and experienced group. Feels like they have some great up-and-comers as well. And Spencer Linton talked with Fessy about the group and the quarterbacks after day one of practice Wednesday.
Fessy, I feel like at this point, because you have a solid core of veteran receivers, there isn't that much unknown. So let's just start with what you feel most confident in with your receivers group early in training camp.
The combination of experience, just their time here in the program, and their skill sets. There's a lot of variety in the skill sets. There's a lot of size differences and agility, strength, and you couple that with just them knowing the system. I'm so excited for the group.
You've been outspoken about wanting to have six capable receivers in this system. Will anything change in the offense? Is it still six the number you're looking for as far as rotation?
It's anywhere from 4 to 6, and how many of those guys play is kind of to be determined. I will say that Chase, Parker, and JoJo are guys, when I talk about skill set and their experience here, they've proven that. Those guys are, who are I'm for sure rolling with. But when you factor in Tiger Bachmeier, his experience, that he's had at Stanford, Cody Hagan, who's got so much skill, he just battled some injuries, him, and then, a guy like Reggie Frischneck, that came in as a transfer, Tay Nakua. I mean, those are guys who are all right there on the fringe of potentially breaking into that. And so those first three, I know what they can do. It's critical this camp for me in these next, 3 weeks, who can break in to be those 4, 5, and 6. And the time of the season and who we're playing will dictate the number of reps those 4 to 6 guys get.
Let's talk a little bit about JoJo, because I just spoke with him and asked him where he feels like he has worked the hardest this offseason. Obviously, he says, I feel like I've really taken the weight room way more seriously to develop strength, be able to take more hits, work on my speed a little bit. Where have you seen him improve the most?
I mean, that's the obvious one. And the strength staff told me, too. I know I'm not with them you know, obviously we're limited in our contact with him in the off season, but the strength staff said JoJo clearly is one of the had one of the greatest off season workouts of anyone on the whole team. And it shows. It shows in his physicality, how he looks, and now he's playing with this confidence that you can only get when you train that way. And that's what I've kind of told these guys. Like, conceptually, it's easy to say, oh, if I work hard, I get big, I'm strong, I can take more hits, I can look better. But there's this confidence that you play with and that you have that you can only, you know, see when you go through that. And just in one practice, I've seen that with him. He's been really vocal as well, more than he's ever been. And I'm really excited for JoJo. I think this is going to be a huge year for him.
He is the passing game coordinator and the receivers coach, Fessy Satake, on BYU Sports Nation. Let's go a little bit further down the line, because BYU fans naturally want to know what kind of player Tiger Bachmeier is, and you mentioned his name. So what do you feel like you know about him and what he's going to do on the field?
Well, what most people know about Tiger, which is high achiever, you know, 2.5-year graduate, you know, in computer science at Stanford. That's hard to do while playing football, especially. When you take how you have to be wired, he's just like that on the football field. He's very meticulous. He's very detailed in everything he does. He redlines. You know, there's no, hey, give me more effort. I've never had to, nor will I ever have to talk to Tiger about effort and going hard and doing things right. And that's what makes him really, really good at what he is. He just happens to be a really skilled receiver. He's quick. He's twitch. He's bursty. He's got a great read of the ball in the air. I'm not huge on player comps, but just for BYU fans, I would say he's got a lot of Dak's in him. I haven't had, in terms of his build and kind of his quickness and agility and that toughness. And so I'm excited to see how he, you know, blossoms throughout fall. But if he stays on track and does what I think he's capable of, no reason why he can't play a good amount of plays for us.
We've heard about Reggie Frisnek's speed and his short burst speed in his 10-yard splits. Cody Hagan is an interesting guy. I compared him a little bit, and maybe you can just totally debunk this, but I feel like he's got a little bit of Gunnar Romney in him. Is that a fair comparison?
I think it's fair, especially physically how they're built. Cody's, I would say has more top end and is more burstier than Gunnar. Gunnar was a little more polished at the same time. Cody's got his very quirky style of play. It's unorthodox, but it's effective, and that's what I really what really excites me about him. He knows his body, I can't wait. If he stays healthy, he's another one that is on track to do some great things for us.
How have your receivers handled the transition in the quarterback room emotionally? Because that can be certainly taxing when something like that happens.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it just starts with leadership. Chase has seen a lot of quarterback changes and shifts in his time here, and he's done a great job at just keeping that mentality, that mental maturity in our room strong, because he's experienced it. And I think the guys just, they have belief in the system. They have belief in our offense and the coaches. They have belief in each of these quarterbacks. And was it a little, you know, adjustment that we all had to make? Of course it was. But I love the feeling, though, of, you know, you can sense it in the receivers room, and I think across our offense, is our backs are back up against the wall a little bit. That doesn't mean we lack any doubt or don't have, you know, excitement. It just makes us that much more focused on the job and the task at hand, and I think the guys are going to respond well.
From your perspective as the passing game coordinator, you're obviously very involved in coaching the quarterbacks, and you're with them on the field when they come on the sidelines and communicating things from Aaron Roderick from the booth down to them. Just quickly, if you could break each of the three down to what makes them unique, starting with Trayson.
Trayson is a natural leader. He's very charismatic. He's not afraid to be vocal and to address things on the spot. I think he's got everything in his head systematically, how we need to operate. He's just kind of solid at everything. Bear is someone that I think is just, the sky's the limit. I mean, the guy, he's wearing 47. He looks like a linebacker out there, right? But he's so physical. He's got it's easy to sleep on his ability to throw the ball and his athleticism. And maybe that's part of the reason he wears that, is to be deceptive. But I think, like, even just after one day today, personally, I thought he had the best day. And we still have to watch film, but he's just got a lot of natural ability to him. And McKay is the most dynamic of the three. He's got a really good deep ball, which is huge in our offense. We take pride in being explosive. And he's someone that just has to get continually get used to operating, you know. But, man, each one of them brings something so unique and so different. I don't envy Coach A-Rod's position and having to decide who that is. But luckily we've got, you know, 10 practices or so to kind of make that decision. But all three our players have belief in, our team has belief in. It's just going to be a matter of who is the most consistent and operates the way we're looking for him to.
One follow-up question on Bear, because he clearly has had the least amount of time in the playbook and in the system. How do you feel like he'll handle that challenge compared to the other two guys who have been around a lot longer?
After one day, I'm really encouraged that he's going to pick it up well. He's a lot like his brother. I mean, they're both just, they get it. They're smart. Yeah. And so I was really pleased with not just his ability today, but his ability to operate. I can't believe that he should have graduated high school just 2 months ago. You know, obviously he had a semester at Stanford, but he operates like he's been in the system for a couple of years, and it says a lot about his maturity.
Okay, we'll finish with this. Do the coaches get the swag that the players do? Specifically, do you get those gray, whatever they're called, shoes that they got?
Yeah, those are funky alien avatar-looking shoes. I'm going to bequeath mine to someone right away. Yeah, we get the same swag. Depending on what we put on, we could look like posers. I won't be wearing that cut off. If I do, I'll have a long sleeve under it. But no, our equipment staff is the best. The players, it's so exciting. Coaches, we play it off better, but I think we're just as excited to get the gear as the players.
I decided I'm way too old to try and pull off those shoes. I can't do it, Fessy.
No, I'm not wearing those. You and me, so.
Thanks for the time, brother. We appreciate it.
Cool. Always good. Appreciate it.
They look comfortable, but if you want to see the cutoff hoodie in action, you can watch Dave McCann next Tuesday right here on AFR. That will be fun to see.
Let's go.
Meanwhile, one of Fessy Satake's guys, Cody Hagan, primed to get more snap this season, off of a mission, had the year last year. I spoke with the speedster after practice Wednesday. I believe this is the BYU Sports Nation debut of Cody Hagan. We haven't had you on the program yet, right?
Yeah, this is the first time.
This is the first time? Let's go.
Okay, last year, you got in a bunch of games, mostly on special teams. There were some receptions in there. I think 3 for 29. Does that sound right?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. This year, there's going to be more of you. What did you learn last year in kind of a more limited role, more special teams role that prepared you for this year?
Yeah, honestly, just learning from the guys that are going. There's a lot to learn, a lot more than you think. Coming out of high school, you think you know kind of what the routes are, what you're doing, but it's a complicated offense, and it was good to learn and get settled and feel a lot more comfortable for this year, so. Feeling good.
Let's tell your story. So, Gatorade Player of the Year at Corner Canyon. Mission to where?
San Bernardino, California.
How was it?
It was great. Best 2 years ever. So, it was awesome.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
The mission's the best. And then last season, you just talked about. Now we walk into this season. How's the offseason been? How much more ready do you feel maybe from your body after a mission and with the playbook and everything?
Yeah, I mean, it's night and day after a mission. I'm sure everyone says the same thing, but I was thinking I was ready to go, had a little injury. But this summer I was able to go full go, and then I'm feeling a lot better, a lot healthier, a lot stronger, faster, just ready to go, yeah.
How's the speed? Because that's the thing you're known for.
Yeah, it feels just as fast, if not faster. A lot stronger for sure, so it feels good.
Remind me, did you compete in the 100, 200 in track too?
Yeah, in high school, yeah.
In high school.
Yep.
And what was your fastest 100?
100 was 10.4, 10.5, 200 is 20.9, so.
What place did you take in the state?
Junior year, first place both. Senior year, I slipped in the blocks, still took second or third, and then first in the 200, so.
You slipped until still took second?
It was unfortunate.
That's amazing that you still took second. Over here at BYU, I assume, right, on that track?
Yeah.
Okay. Where can you use your speed the most? And is kick return a possibility with you?
Yeah. Right now they have me back at kick return with a few other guys getting reps. But honestly, speed, kick return, PK's doing punt return. He just yelled. But
it's going to the
he does. But it'll be good. There's a lot of deep routes in this offense, which everyone loves, all the receivers. So there's a great opportunity to go deep, use the speed.
Everyone probably thinks they have, our position group is really good, blah, blah. You guys have a proven group, and then there's others who are unproven but we're excited about, like yourself and others. How do you feel about the wide receiver room? Because I think fans are pretty excited.
Yeah, honestly, we're all feeling really good. Obviously, every position group's going to say they have the best core, but we feel really confident. We got a lot of guys that have had reps, been starting, and we feel really confident for this year. Going to make some electric plays for sure.
I don't doubt it. Tell us about what kind of player you are. Like, who's your comp? What do you do on the field that you feel you excel at?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like one thing is just knowing where to be and what to do. Obviously, my brother's a great example. He knows the playbook inside and out, and he's the one who kind of taught me it. So that's my goal, is to know everything inside out and then obviously make some explosive plays, be able to contribute beyond just the catch and drop. So.
And remind me, your brother was a quarterback at Yale and then he was here, right?
So he committed to Yale at high school, he came here, but he'll still be here in like a week or two, he'll be back. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. And as a quarterback, he kind of sees it all, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he was my quarterback in high school, so it's always fun being able to play with him and be on the same team. So.
Tell me about the Corner Canyon legacy of where this that program is and the quarterbacks they put out and receivers and all kinds of position groups.
Yeah, shoot. Honestly, there's a lot of guys that are coming out of Corner Canyon. Coach Carey does a great job, and he's obviously the best there is in high school. So it feels good to be a part of the Corner Canyon legacy. And they put a lot of guys out. A lot of teams are watching that school, so it's a great school to be at.
Walk me back to when you committed, when you signed, when you're on your mission, and you're thinking about this, you're thinking about that in that stadium. And now we're getting closer to that moment.
Yeah, honestly, it's so exciting. Just to be in fall camp, to have some football practices, put the pads on, almost the helmet so far. But it really does feel good just to be back to what you're here to do. So it feels good.
Talk to me about the leadership group that's kind of showing you the way of guys who have been there. Obviously, Chase has been here for 18 years or whatever. It's awesome. JoJo is an experienced guy. Parker. And then there's others like yourself, Reggie Frischknecht, a newcomer, Tiger Bachmeier, LaMason Waller, and others. Who's kind of sticking out as the leaders versus who you kind of gel with the most?
Yeah, honestly, Chase is a really great example. He knows what to do. Same with Parker, JoJo. Honestly, you look up to all of them. But especially Chase, knowing what to do. He's kind of the leader in the wide receiver room. Calms everybody down. We're getting hype or too hype or too over in our heads. But overall, everyone, I feel like everyone helps each other out. So, yeah.
Does Chase have a nickname? We don't have a good nickname. I feel like AP Chase might be up there. Just looks like he'd be the AP guy in your mission.
Chase. His name's pretty short. I don't know if we have a nickname for him. I'll come back. I'll get back to you.
Let me know. Are there any good nicknames with any of the guys in the room?
PK Fire. LaMace instead of LaMason. Nothing. Honestly, nothing. They call me Tigers. Copenhagen. Sky. We call him Sky instead of Sky. But honestly, nothing.
Skyler Main, shout out.
Skyler Main, yep. But nothing. Nothing crazy. They say Copenhagen because we do a lot of Copenhagens. Yeah. Shout out Darius for that name.
You do a lot of Copenhagens. What's that?
You do a lot of Copenhagens. It's a workout.
It's a workout.
Yeah, but it's for your groin. You just go up on a bench and do a little side plank on the bench. That's a Copenhagen. Yeah.
I don't go to the weight room, Cody. Clearly. What are you looking forward to the most in camp itself?
Honestly, just being able to compete. We haven't really had any compete time yet this whole off season since spring ball. So it feels good to run routes and compete and have some live, opportunities, get your heart beating a little faster. It feels good to get after it.
Is there a DB you want to go at in particular or just the whole crew?
Honestly, all of them. Tommy talks a lot of smack, so probably just Tommy. But
Tommy presses?
Yeah. Honestly, all of them, though.
That's funny.
Yeah, they're all good.
I love, and we explain it to the fans every year, but it's offense versus defense until August 30th. Yeah, you guys go after it.
Cutthroat. Yeah, Coach Klein does a good job of keeping us down, no fights and everything. He does his best for that. But, I mean, it's compete time. Here in a little bit, it'll get hotter and hotter, going against the same people over and over. But it's always great. It's a good time.
Right now it's fresh and exciting. In a couple days, it'll start to get old, right?
Hotter, a little hotter.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the time. Glad we could have you on the program for the first time, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Yeah.
Cody Hagan, speedster. Up next, you agree with ESPN's Heather Dinich that BYU football can make the college football playoff. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Question of the day is this. Do you agree with Heather Dinich that BYU can make the college football playoff? That's a strong opinion. Our elite voice today is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at Tater Coogan X. I think so. Schedule isn't crazy difficult. There's definitely a stretch of tough games, but nothing unwinnable. If you want to make it, you win most of those games. I would imagine you got to go at least 7-2 in league to at least be in the tie-breaking scenario.
Got to get to the show. Got to get to Arlington.
Big ask, but that would be awesome.
And hey, why not?
Can you imagine if this team with a new quarterback does it? That would be incredible.
Be one of the great stories.
I think they believe they can do it too. Yeah. Today's Rising Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Delanie Gibb and Trevin Nell, two outstanding players, all playing 3x3 today. Delanie for Canada and Trevin for the United States. We wish him the best.
We didn't know or care about 3x3 until Jimmer got involved, and now we're heavily involved.
And now Jimmer's like the president of it.
He's
right?
Running USA 3x3, which is pretty cool.
So we should always have Cougars in the mix in 3x3. Although the Canadians, they don't care what Jimmer's doing with the U.S.
They don't care. But
so Delaney got there on her own merits.
Good luck to Delaney. Our thanks to today's guests, Fessy Satake, Cody Hagan, and Brandon Doman, who brought the heat. Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I am Jerem. Shout out to JT Gentry. The Cougs wrapping up day three of practice with pads. We are headed over there right after this. Go Cougs. Have a great weekend.